somewhere along the line, Breakaway Advisor picked up a movie trailer sound. One dramatic resignation, a cardboard box, a new sign on a new door. That picture is wrong in almost every detail. The word actually describes a decision about who ends up owning the practice you spend a career building. Today, I want to walk through the four things it really carries, including the part almost every explainer skips, how the move actually happens. Quick note before we get into it, Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. If you're at a wirehouse, a bank brokerage, or an insurance broker dealer, and the word breakaway keeps showing up in your reading, this episode is the plain English version. We'll cover what the word means, the trade underneath it, the four lanes you can land in, and the sequence a clean move follows. The definition first, because it's simpler than the mystique around it. A breakaway advisor is an advisor who leaves a large employee firm to own their own practice instead, either by starting a registered investment advisor, an RIA, or by joining an independent firm or platform that already exists. The word names the direction of the move, employee to owner. The destination can be anything from a solo shop to a big platform that runs your entire back office. And notice what's missing from that definition: drama. From the outside, the work often looks identical after the move. Same clients, same planning conversations, same markets. What changes is what accumulates underneath the work. That's thing one. Ownership. The clearest way to see the employee model is as a lease. You rent the firm's platform, the accounts, the technology, the brand, the compliance department, and the rent is the slice of your production the grid keeps. A lease can be a perfectly good deal. For plenty of advisors, it genuinely is. But at the end of a 20-year lease, you own what any tenant owns, which is the option to keep paying. Ownership reverses the accumulation. The client agreements name your firm. The revenue is your firm's revenue. And because you own the agreements, you own something transferable. An asset that can be valued, borrowed against, and one day sold. An employee advisor's book is worth what the firm's retirement program says it is. An owner's book is worth what a buyer will pay. Thing two is control. Advisors rarely list it first, then spend half the conversation on it anyway. At an employee firm, the custodian, the technology, the fee schedule, the marketing rules, and what you're allowed to post on LinkedIn all get decided somewhere above you. None of it is malicious. Supervising a national firm's accounts requires exactly that kind of standardization. But the accumulated weight of "it's not your call" is the frustration that starts most breakaway conversations. On the independent side, those calls come home. You, or the platform you choose, pick the custodian, the software, the pricing, and the firm answers to the regulator directly, since an RIA registers with the Securities and Exchange Commission or with its state rather than to a home office. Control has a price, though, and the price is thing three, responsibility. Every function your old firm absorbed becomes a line item or a job description. Compliance becomes a chief compliance officer role you either hold yourself or hire out. Errors and omissions coverage, cybersecurity, billing, payroll. Yours now. There's no salary floor under a bad quarter, and a compliance failure is your liability, not a department's. Anyone selling you the breakaway story without this half of it is not being straight with you. From watching these moves, one pattern holds up. The advisors who settle in happiest are the ones who wanted ownership, not the ones who only wanted escape. The load feels different when it's yours on purpose, which sets up thing four, the most practical of the lot. Breaking away is a spectrum, not a leap. The wirehouse to solo RIA jump people picture is one lane on a wide road. You can build your own RIA from scratch and own every piece outright. You can tuck into an existing independent firm and use their infrastructure. You can join a supported independence platform that runs the back office for a share of your revenue. Or you can run a hybrid with advisory and brokerage business in parallel. Every lane is a legitimate answer for somebody. What separates a good landing from a resented one is the paperwork you read up front. And three questions do most of the work. Whose name is on the client agreements? How the economics are calculated and on what? And what happens to your clients if you and the platform ever part ways? Because a lane that forces every client to repaper on exit is a second transition you're agreeing to years in advance. So how does a breakaway actually happen slowly, then all at once? And the slow part is the protection. The deliberate version starts with your own paper, the employment agreement, the non-solicitation language, any promissory notes from old recruiting bonuses, the deferred compensation schedule. What those documents allow shapes everything downstream. Then you check the broker protocol status of both firms. That's the industry agreement governing what client information can travel with you between member firms. And more than 2,000 firms are signatories as of the administrator's October 2025 list. Between members, the official protocol text spells out exactly five things a departing advisor may take: client name, address, phone number, email address, and account title for the clients you personally serviced. Nothing beyond those five. No account numbers, no statements, no firm documents. And membership is a fact you verify, never assume. Some of the biggest names stepped in and then stepped right back out around 2017 and 2018. And the list changes week to week. So the check is worth repeating close to the move. Then, while the move is still theoretical, you get a securities attorney in your corner. Most advisors have spent a whole career with compliance handled down the hall, so almost nobody has counsel of their own. That's exactly why you find one months before any resignation date instead of during resignation week. Only after that do you pick the lane, then the specific partner, judged against those three contract questions. The last step is the choreographed one. Resign in the prescribed order, handle the client information exactly as the documents require, and then let your clients decide. Every client who follows you does it by choice, one account at a time, which is, in the end, the entire bet. If the word breakaway has started following you around, we built a short assessment for exactly this stage. Six questions, and it shows you where you stand and which lanes fit your practice. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. 2 minutes, no pitch. Learn what the word carries before you carry it. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.